Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And before we stand, I want you to take note of how Jesus uses the pronouns in this particular scripture. At the beginning, Jesus is using the pronoun they. They do this, they do that, they do the other thing. And then as the scripture progresses, he changes his pronouns from they to you. You do this, you do that. You don't do this, you don't do that. So let's take note of that as you stand and we hear the scripture together. This is Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." Let's respond to the word. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. I ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you indeed are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My mother always told me that when you point your finger at somebody, you have three fingers pointing back at yourself. Now, when I was a self-righteous young adult in graduate school, living in Atlanta, dating a cute little preacher man, I forgot a lot of things that my mother always told me. I thought I was pretty hot stuff. I was making good grades. I had three little jobs, all fun jobs. I opened and closed the chapel at the seminary on nights and weekends. I worked at a large church family life center, sweeping the floor, cleaning up after basketball games. And I worked at the seminary apartment complex, and I got free room and board. It was a pretty good deal. Things were good. Joe even began to do my laundry. And we have a great laundry romance, as you'll come to find out. You see, he was serving a church, and he was living in a parsonage, after all. I was in an apartment, saving up my quarters to wash everything I had in one big load. I was trying to develop the best pink wardrobe on campus. Now, these were the days of MC Hammer. It's Hammer time! And these were the days of Too Legit to Quit. And I happened to have a pair of MC Hammer pants with the tight ankles and the big baggy legs. And they were faded. They were red and blue checked, and I wore them about twice a week. I just pulled them on like sweatpants, and you know, I could just go anywhere in those MC Hammer pants. And not long after Joe started doing my laundry, he started separating things, and he ironed things even. And my MC Hammer pants disappeared. Now, it really hurt me. I thought a whole host of things. He's lost them. He really doesn't like them because he's a better dresser than me, and he thinks these pants are sloppy. He has given them away. He has left them in the trunk of his car, and he has accidentally forgotten them on purpose. My blaming and insinuation got worse over time. You know those pants with the blue and red checks and too legit to quit? Where are those pants? He's lying to me when he says he can't find them. How can I trust a man who steals my clothes? Isn't it a little weird that he's a man and he likes doing laundry? He is weird. He's not the kind of person I need to associate with. He has some strange habits. Cross-dressing, maybe? Now remember, I'm the one wearing the MC Hammer pants. Who's cross-dressing? He cut up my pants and he's planning some raid or some ambush on me featuring my favorite pants, and he is going to turn me into some kind of fool. And finally, I couldn't stand it anymore, but one night in my little apartment, I actually said, I do not think that I can continue going out with you if you are absconding with my clothing. And as soon as those crazy words came out of my mouth, I looked in the straw basket shaped like a pineapple. And this is where I used to put my clothes before Joe started taking them to his house to do my laundry. And I lifted up the lid. You can guess, there were my pants. Now, one sure way to start off a marriage in which you are consistently aware of your need to be mature and your need to be kind and gentle is to start by blaming your partner by something that is your fault. Now, that's why we still keep this pineapple basket, even though it's fallen apart. But this is a reminder to me that when I point my finger at Joe, there are at least three fingers pointing back at me. Can I get an amen? The story goes like this. The Pharisees, they teach well. Their material is good and solid. Jesus says they sit in Moses' seat. You get a great basis of Jewish thought and religion by listening to the Pharisees and by studying with them. But they do not follow their own teachings with their own feet. Jesus says, take what they say with their mouths, but take note of where they walk. The surest way to understand what someone believes is not to watch their mouth, but to watch their feet. The Pharisees' feet led them to the best seats in the house. The best seats in the house in the synagogue. The best seats in the house of parishioners with whom they ate. They looked for the best banquet tables at which they might recline, with the freshest olives and the yummiest dates, with the greatest hummus and the warmest bread. Their feet took them during the week to a fancy leather shop so that they could increase the size of their phylacteries. Phylacteries are boxes that Orthodox Jews wear on their foreheads or around their arms, and these boxes contain important Hebrew scriptures. They went to the leather shops to make sure their phylacteries were large, larger than normal. They asked their wives to braid the fringes on the corner of their prayer shawls extra long, so that when they walked, everyone could see the faithfulness of their prayer shawls dangling from underneath their robes. At market, they went at the busiest times so that people would notice them and say, hey, Rabbi, 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 it's so good to see you. I'm so glad you're here, Rabbi. Rabbi, come here and see the apricots I have on my stand. The Pharisees' desire to look good overcame their understanding of what was happening to people because of their teachings. The Pharisees were good teachers, and they were stressing the law all 365 rules. 365 rules they were demanding that people follow. And they were so clear about the demands of the law that they were piling on faithful Jews burdens that the rabbis were unable to lift. That's what Jesus says. They were forgetting to encourage people in a true relationship with God. They're hypocrites. They're hypocrites. They say one thing and they do another. And you know, our world is full of hypocrites. Can I get an amen? People who say one thing and do the opposites. Preachers who come out against gays and then we find out that they've been having successive affairs with young male parishioners in their church. Catholic priests who take vows of celibacy and get moved around by cardinals and bishops and maybe even the Pope from one church to another to perpetuate child abuse and molestation over and over again. Married politicians with bids toward the White House who say, "I do not know that woman." And then we find out that they have a baby together. And that they have actually used campaign contributions to try to cover up the birth of the child. Governors who espouse fidelity and fairness towards women. And then we find they have children with their housekeepers. And they have multiple accusations of sexual harassment. You get it. They are all hypocrites. Every single one. And that's why people don't go to church. Church is full of hypocrites. You don't want to amen that, do you? People who say they believe in justice and then rob their clients blind. Investment bankers who use religious language of care and concerns in difficult times, and then you realize that they've developed millions and millions of dollars to feather their own family's bank accounts. Medical professionals who say they're Christian and say Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, and then you hear them describe their darker-skinned patients as if they are animals. Business people and tradespeople who recite the creed and say the Lord's Prayer on Sunday, sitting with their families in the surrounding pews, while on Monday mornings at their computers in the cubicle where no one is watching, they have inappropriate sexual relationships with online partners, just to add a little spice to their life. They're hypocrites. I've quit preaching and gone to meddling. You're going to tell me later. They're hypocrites. It's them. It's all their fault. They are to blame. And that's why people aren't in church, because you're hypocrites. But woe to you and woe to me, Jesus says. Even as you see them and point to them, those hypocrites, you have three fingers pointing back at yourself. Remember, Jesus now turns from using the plural pronoun they to the direct plural pronoun you. Meaning, you disciples, you brothers and sisters in Christ, you people here in church, you could fall into the same self-righteousness that the Pharisees have fallen into. Jesus reminds us all, we have one teacher, we have one Father, we have one instructor, Messiah. And when we point our fingers toward Christ and away from them and in away from ourselves, you know what happens to our hands? They miraculously open up, and we take a towel, and we wrap that towel around our waists, and we fill a bowl with warm, soapy water, and we say to each other, "You hypocrite, my feet are so dirty, and your feet are dirty too. So let me wash your feet, and then I'd like you to wash my feet, because I'd rather have somebody wash my feet in the name of Christ than judge me and watch my feet wherever they go. And that is the good news, that we're all servants, and each of us must take our place on our knees, washing each other's feet rather than pointing fingers. Amen.